Hey, good morning. My name is John Kinney. I'm the senior pastor here at Quest Church, and I welcome you, and I'm going to jump right into what we're talking about today. Sarah McDonald, our Connections pastor, said a word about it in the welcome and intro just a little while ago, but we're in a series called God Through You, and what we believe is that God is in us as followers of Jesus by the power of His Holy Spirit, and He certainly wants to then bring things out of us or through us so that people see Jesus in this world. One of the things that I've been saying in this series is those are the characteristics of God that are shown through us, and they're called fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to show that in just a moment. But one of the things that I've mentioned over and over is that the world needs more Christians who act like Christians. Amen? I mean, seriously, sometimes the world looks at the church, and maybe the reason you're not a Christian, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a church person, is because you look at the church, you look at Christians, you go, nope, no thank you. We need Christians who act like Jesus, who act like who He was when He was in this world. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be the church. So if you're not a Christian, you're here today. I'm so glad you're here. I welcome you here. Thank you for coming out and being with us today. If you are a Christian, really glad you're here. The things we're talking about in this series are supposed to be who we are as followers of Jesus. And so Paul addresses those characteristics called fruit of the Spirit, nine things about us that we're supposed to display as followers of Jesus. And I think he chose these nine on purpose. And here's what we've looked at so far. Check this out. We've looked at love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. What it says in Scripture is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, is trying to bring these things out of us or through us into the lives of others, into the world that we live in. Today, we're moving on to goodness, and then we have three left, all right? Hang on. Self-control is coming. Amen? All right. We've looked at those so far. Today, we're going to look at goodness. I think it's interesting, that word goodness, thinking about it this week, and I was thinking about how so often people ask each other this question, how are you? Probably you were asked that on the way in today. And our answer about a state of being question, people usually mean kind of emotionally how you feeling when we say, how are you? But our response, sometimes we say, I'm fine or whatever, right? Those are kind of the get away from me. It's usually what that means, especially if you haven't had your coffee yet. It's like, I'm not fine yet. I'll get there, but just give me a little time. Sometimes our response is, I'm good. Or other times our response, this one's the interesting one to me. Sometimes we say, I'm doing good. Now, I know I've been told between services that is grammatically incorrect. So I know. So we're all pretty much grammatically incorrect, or a lot of us are, because we're supposed to say, I'm well, or I'm doing well. But very often what we say is, I'm good, I'm doing good. Have you ever thought about that? That your response to a question about how are you, the state of your being, is usually an action report. I'm doing something. Doing is an action word. And so you say, I'm doing good. And so I could follow it by then asking, oh, what good have you done this week? All of a sudden, you're like, whoa, huh? No, I'm fine. I'm just talking about how I'm doing. Well, you said you're doing good. So what good have you done? I think it's interesting that we answer the question, how are you, a state of being, with kind of an action response, and we don't even think about the fact that we're given an action response about doing something. And, you know, in some parts of the world, they don't answer the question like we do here in the United States. Different cultures are different. Even in the U.S., we have different cultures. In our church, we have different cultures. But in other parts of the world, I was reading about how they won't answer the question with I'm doing well or I'm doing good, because when they say that, it implies ethical responsibility. It implies a moral thing that you're doing. So they're thinking about, when you say, how are you, they're, and they say, I'm doing good, they are thinking about behavior. You and I are not. Isn't that odd? That here in the U.S., very often, most of the time, you don't think I'm doing good, and then somebody says, well, what good have you done this week? And then that would shock you or stop you. Because in other parts of the world, they don't want to lie. Maybe we're okay with lying. They don't want to say, I'm doing good, because that would imply that they've actually done some good in their lives, maybe that day or that week. And in fact, wouldn't the answer sometimes be, I've done bad? this week. I've done some bad things. I've had some bad thoughts. I've had some not so good thoughts. I've had some not so good actions. I wish I could take back a post on Facebook or, you know, whatever it is. We often say we're doing good, but the reality is we're doing not so good. We're doing bad or not really that well. And listen, I'm speaking to myself when I share that with you today. So I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but I share that with you because it's interesting that our word goodness in Galatians chapter 5, this word we're looking at today, actually implies ethical behavior. It is actually the outworking of goodness in us that Paul is talking about, who wrote this, when he talks about goodness. So he's not just saying that we should be good, but that we should do good. So I could say this, being good leads to doing good. That's what Paul is saying when he talks about goodness in Galatians chapter 5. So, how are you, church? Are you just being good or well on the inside, or are you doing those things on the outside with your life? I say that because, man, I would love it. I like to find things that will rock our world for the rest of our lives. And so whenever somebody asks you, how are you, I think it'd be awesome if when we answer, we go, wait a minute, am I really doing good things or not? And I don't mean that, you know, I don't want everybody to walk in next week and be, how you doing? I can't answer that. Or don't rattle off the list of bad things you've done, you know. But I think it would be awesome to kind of let that sink in. And every time somebody asks you, maybe they will remind you of this fruit of the Spirit that Paul is talking about here. Now I want to pause for just a moment because this is one of those things, especially if you're a church person. Some of you are church people. You've been in the church a long, long time. Amen? Do I have any long-time church people in the house today? I'm one of them. I grew up in the church, whatever. Sometimes people come to Quest and it's the first time they've ever been to church. I know we have a variety of people in the house today. But the reality is, for those of us who have been Christians a long time, we get a little freaked out by what I'm talking about right now because we're like, wait a minute, man, you're about, what do you mean doing good, like doing good works? Are you about to tell me that that's the essence of faith and what it means to be a Christian? Because, like, that's very dangerous. You're talking about, you know, faith by works, things that you do. And I know all about this, that you're saved by what you do. I know about that struggle because my biggest struggle in my life has been earning God. Anybody else in the house today? You're like, yeah, I'm trying to earn God. And so I'm doing good things, but the reason I do them, I often think the reason I became a pastor is to try to earn God's approval. I'm just being honest with you. Well, maybe God will love me if I do that. So it's a dangerous thing, but follow me here, to think that you can do good things and God loves you because you do good things. That's not what we're saying today. But we are going to talk about why doing good things is good and what we should be doing. Paul says goodness is an intrinsic thing inside of us. We're supposed to be good people as followers of Christ with the Holy Spirit in us. But God then wants to bring good out of us. But we have to be very careful to think that that's what somehow earns God's love. It's not. I'll get to that in just a moment. There's an author that I love who wrote a book years ago that I read called Just Like Jesus. And the quote on the front of the book, it's called Just Like Jesus. And then this is kind of the subtitle by Max Lucado. It says this, God loves you just the way you are. All right, he loves you where you are, how you are right now. But he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be kind of like Jesus. Oh, excuse me. Just like Jesus. A little bit like Jesus. No, what does he say? Just like Jesus. Now, this isn't the Bible. This is Max Lucado. He's a man just like me. He's a person. He's written a book. He's an author, a pastor. But I think he's right that God doesn't want to leave you where you are. He loves you as you are. Don't miss that. And it's not that you somehow earn some kind of rescue or salvation by doing good things. But God doesn't want to leave you where you are. And I think this is important because I think so often in the church, especially us longtime Christians, we give ourselves an out, a bye. We take ourselves off the hook. We're like, well, I'm a sinner. God loves me like I am. I talked about this last week a little bit. And you forget that God wants to change your life. Amen? That God wants to do some things that we need to change. We should be more loving. We should be more kind. We should be more all those things that we've looked at so far. God wants to change us. He loves you like you are. Yes, we say that so much at Quest, and we want people to hear that, but I would never want to leave you there, and God doesn't want to leave you there. What God wants to do is make you not kind of like Jesus, but just like his son Jesus. And these characteristics that we're looking at in this series are who he is. So to be very practical, so for instance, if you're a husband in the house today, so you need to love your wife just like Jesus loves your wife. Well, what does that mean? Well, the example given in Ephesians chapter 5 about that means you die on a cross for her if you have to. Sometimes I meet with people, and sometimes the husband will be like, I love her. Well, that's real impressive. It's not impressive at all. What's impressive is sacrifice and doing for your spouse. And I know, because I'm so bad at this sometimes. Wives, same thing. It's about action. It's about doing for your husband. And families, same thing. Or, you know, some of you have coworkers that you let yourself off the hook when it comes to this goodness thing and being like Jesus. You're like, well, Jesus couldn't have meant for her or for him because, like, I need to be Satan to them because they're just evil. And they, you know, somebody's got to tell them. And God has appointed me. His divine appointment is me to show them how bad they really are. Nope. You're called to goodness. Let God take care of that. In fact, you know, in Scripture, we often like that if people are good to us, we're good to them. Isn't that kind of how it goes? And we think when somebody's evil towards us, that we're supposed to be evil back. Do you know what it says in the Bible about it? It says, overcome evil with evil. Actually, it says, overcome evil with good. And that's what God did in Jesus when he overcame the cross and our sin and all those kinds of things. So God wants to make us just like Jesus. He wants to transform us into the image of his son. And certainly Jesus, I would say, in his heart was good. The inside. But it wasn't just that. It was that goodness and good works came out of him, not to earn his father. He knew he was loved by his father, but because God wants us to be good so that people see God. And that's what our good works do. In the story of the Bible, there are a couple words for what we're talking about today. And I think we get a little confused by this. I think maybe as I'm talking, you're sitting out there and you're like, it's a little confusing. I don't quite understand it. I want to give you a little theology lesson today. Is that all right? All right. There are sometimes, oh, don't bring up those Bible words. It's good. We need to understand this stuff. It helps us. All right. I think a lot of people are struggling today because of the two words I'm about to talk about. The becoming good in your heart is actually, the word for that is justification in the Bible. It actually uses that term. That word basically means to be declared righteous, or you could say, I think, using our word, to be declared good by God. But the declaration comes from outside of us, not from inside of us. I don't get to declare myself good. I'm good. I'm good enough. People say that. Some of you are too prideful to become a Christian because you think you're good enough. I know. I've been there. I've done that. In fact, I think that's what earning salvation is about. I say I'm a Christian, but I, you know, no thank you, God, for your gift of Jesus. I can't accept that you've declared me righteous. I have to somehow figure it out and earn it myself, and I keep messing up, and I never feel like I'm there. Y'all know this journey, some of you? Especially, it's a Christian journey a lot of times. So justification is when you understand, you come to a moment of understanding, or it could be a period of time. For me, it was a period of a couple years where I understood God loves me. God saved me. Sometimes we use that kind of language. I've become a Christian. I've said yes to God. There's many ways to say it. I think we get a little too carried away with, you know, saying it a certain way. I think sometimes we tell people they have to, this may be, you may have never heard this, but we tell people you got to say this specific sinner's prayer and you got to say it right. No, that's ridiculous. It's your heart. And God declares you righteous. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praying with somebody or something like that. But if you're sitting in the room today without me even saying a prayer to you, with you, and you are to say, God, I love you. Thank you for loving me. I receive your declaration of righteousness and goodness in my life. Guess what? You are saved. Amen. You're a Christian. And you might go, I didn't feel anything. I didn't either. It's declared to you. It is upon you. And you have it, whether you feel it or not. That's justification. And we get this from Jesus, who is God's goodness. I wasn't good enough, and so God sent Jesus, who was good enough, and because of what he did, I receive his goodness. When God looks at me, I know it's crazy, he looks at me and he sees me as good because of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And I think it's even better than that, because I used to preach, and I think I was wrong on this, that God can't even see my sin. I think that's ridiculous. You see my sin, and you're just human. I think God sees my sin and loves me anyway, because he's declared me righteous, because he's given me his son, Jesus. And I think God's not stupid or blind to the fact that we still sin, but he declares us loved anyway. Isn't that amazing? That's the cross. That's justification. In the Bible, it talks about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, for God made Christ, who never sinned. See, he didn't sin. He was good enough to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's implying justification. That is, yes, being saved. That is being rescued. That is God's saving you, rescuing you, becoming a follower of Jesus, a disciple, a Christian, however you want to say it, that's what it is. Romans chapter 5 says this, for the sin of this one man, Adam, this is where we get our sin nature from, caused death to rule over many. But even greater, I love this, even greater is God's wonderful grace, the gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. It's not through John Kenny, it's not through you, it's through who? Jesus. Yes, Adam's sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of, there's the word, what? Justification brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. So what this is saying is you're declared good because of God and his goodness. This is called justification, right? I am given this new state of being. It's all over Scripture. Check it out. It talks about being a new creation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus said, I've come to give you new life, abundant life. It's new. I'm making you a new person. I'm renewing you. But the problem is this, and I think this is where we struggle. You sit here today and you go, I don't know, man. And some of us are like, I hope he gives the altar call thing, because I need to get saved again. No, you don't. You're basing that on what you've been doing. Maybe you've been doing bad, not good, but you're justified if you've said yes to Jesus. He declares you righteous. It doesn't even matter what you're doing. Is that not amazing? To save you, I'm talking about. So it's a free gift. I think when you understand that, and I've said it this way before, when you accept that you're accepted, it finally changes you. That's what started to change me, the freedom that I was given, knowing that God loves me. And in fact, when I sin, it hurts my heart because I know it hurts his heart. And I'm not doing it just to earn him. I'm doing it to please him. He's my father. I want to please my father in heaven who loves me so much and gave his son for me. And in fact, when I sin, instead of going, oh, I need to get saved again, you know what I do? I go, thank you, God, for your grace That sin is what that's the specific things you died for in my life. Do you know what I'm talking about? You don't got to get saved over and over and over. Now, there's nothing wrong with recommitment, renewal, all those kinds of things. And in the past, if you feel like you've gotten saved many, many times, gotten rescued, whatever, I'm not saying I need recommitment and renewal every week. If there were an opportunity to have it every single day, I would take it in a worship service. I need it. I need to recommit, renew, all those kinds of things. But the reality is, God has declared me righteous. And it's a state of being. It's, man, I'm just here, and that's where I am. But again, I think the problem is, you go, yeah, but I don't feel like I'm really doing good. That good stuff. What are you talking about? Well, that's another word in the Bible. And the word is sanctification. So again, theological lesson here. Justification is when God declares us righteous because of Jesus, declares us good because he is good, and he sent his son Jesus, who is his goodness exemplified, and who was not a sinner and died for us who were sinners. But then God doesn't want to leave you where you are part. He wants to make you just like Jesus. The being made just like Jesus is called sanctification. The word sanctification literally means to be set aside for a specific or special use. So you are special to God, and he has a special use for your life, and he wants to do something with you. This is the living out of Christian faith, to be set apart, set aside for an intended or specific use. So this is where God says, I want to make you more loving. Does that make sense? I want to give you more patience with people. Now you're like, yeah, I get that. So you're saying I'm loved by God and saved by God? No matter. Yes, you are. But God doesn't want to leave you in that state. He wants to make you like Jesus so that you can be used by God, so that other people see who God is in this world. One of the places in Scripture that talks about sanctification, this is a challenge now, is in the book of James, where it talks about doing good things. Look at what it says. It's very challenging. It says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, if you say you've been justified, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? In the book of James, he actually says, are you sure you understand what it means to be a Christian? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a great day, and stay warm and eat well. And I think we say, I'll pray for you. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What, there's the word, good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. It just means that it's not enough. This isn't the end. It's the beginning for you of what God wants to do. It's making you just like Jesus. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. You've been set apart to be used by God. And so God wants to sanctify you. So sanctification is the working out of your faith. And that thing that you feel inside of you where you're second guessing whether God loves you and things like this is really sanctification. He does love you. You've been justified. That moment where you say, yes, God, I love. And you could walk out of here today. If you're not sure, you could walk out of here today. I would love every person who wants to walk out of here today knowing I've been justified because of Jesus and what he's done in my life. I've said yes to him because he said yes to me. He does love me. But then to move on to what God wants to do in your life. He wants to change you. He wants to transform you. See, I think we like justification. Well, thank you, God, that you love me. Thank you that you declare me good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now I'm just going to live how I want. Is that all right with you? That's kind of how we do faith sometimes. That's a shallow faith. That's a dead and useless faith. You hearing me? What God wants to do is make you like Jesus. Why? So people will see Jesus. Now, I was reading some commentaries and some articles on this week, and one of the things that it said, I think, kind of sums it up well, is this. Justification is a complete and finished act. Sanctification is an ongoing and progressive work in our lives. See, if you're a Christian, what's happening to you is you're still alive. And God is wanting to change you and transform you and gives you opportunities every day to do what? Love people, be kind to people. You just thought they were like obstacles. No, they're opportunities for you to become who God is calling you to be. It's an ongoing and progressive work in your lives. Listen, sometimes people say to me about our church here at Quest, they're like, man, Quest is a great church. And I've seen that. And I got to be honest with you, I like it as the pastor. I like it. If I see something on Facebook where somebody recommends our church and they say, this is a great church, it's a good church, whatever. I love that. But as I was thinking about that this week and talking about goodness and what it means to be a good church, I wonder if I can challenge us. Because I think so often we measure church, and I know I do this, by only one thing instead of more than one thing. You know, when I'm with other pastors and we talk about building buildings or whatever, you know what we always ask? We always ask this, how many seats you got in your sanctuary? How many can you seat? And we get excited, oh, I can seat. You may not, we can seat about 400 in here, in this room. See, I know. I ordered the chairs. And I think we tend to measure church and how good we are by how many people we can get in here to sit here. I love coming here. I hope you do. I love being seated here. I get excited when my alarm goes off. I got to be honest. I'm telling the truth. I get excited on Sunday morning when my alarm goes off. And I go, I get to go to church and worship. I love that. But isn't there more to being a good church than just how many people we can seat in here? Isn't it about how many people we send out of here? See, the real strength of church isn't how many we can seat in here, but how many we send out there. And if I can challenge us, I think we seat more than we send. I think we tend to seat more than we send. And what I mean is you love this. This is great. I do too. But then I leave here and the goodness stops. To be sent means to go out and to do good things in this world. Sure, we love what happens in here, but goodness is about what we do out there in the world when we share Jesus and his love with the world. So maybe we ought to begin measuring the church not by how many we seat, but how many we send. Can I tell you something? We have opportunities for that. Like 17 of us are headed to Belize this coming week, and the church is, we're not leaving the church for a week. We're being sent by the church for a week to do what? To do good works in the world, to love people in another part of the world. But you don't have to go to Belize to do good works this week. You can do it with your coworker, in your neighborhood, in your family, all those kinds of things that goodness can show through you and who you are in this world. Another thing that Quest has started doing a few months ago is something called Second Saturdays. If you're looking for an opportunity to go out, I think one of the best things that you could do to learn how to be sent out to do good works is to get involved with our Second Saturday ministry. There are more people that come and sit in our seats than come to Second Saturday and go into Grovetown to love people. Do you see a problem with that? Church, man, he's making me feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to help us understand what it means to be sent. And I'm not saying you got to do this thing. I mean, just wherever you are, to be sent to do the good works of God, to show people who God is in your workplaces, in your homes, and all of those places is what it's about. But you can sign up for this if you want, if you're looking for an opportunity. And what I love about Second Saturdays is it's for everybody. I've been out there doing it with my kids. We were weeding a school's garden a couple of months ago. There's opportunities for clothing and food ministries, for just hanging out with young kids in some of the communities around this area. So if you're looking for an opportunity to not just sit, but to be sent, this is an opportunity for that. Obviously, many of you serve in the church and stuff like that, and we're so very thankful. But to be sent out into the world through things like this, beliefs, and opportunities is really what it's about. The guy who is attributed with founding the United Methodist Church, and Quest is a Methodist church, one of the things I love about him is John Wesley is his name. About 300 years ago, he was all about doing good things. And John Wesley talked about how it's not enough to have head knowledge. It's got to move to the heart. It's not enough to just say, I'm saved. I know what it means to be saved. It's got to move to the heart. And not only that, you've got to then go out and do things. And so John Wesley started orphanages and visited prisons and did all this stuff. In fact, died with hardly any money. And he had a lot of money that flowed through his hands over his life. But he started all kinds of missions and ministries for people in the community that he lived in several hundred years ago. But one of his quotes that I want to close with today is so powerful. He said this about goodness. He said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. This is like a 300-year-old quote that still lives. Amen? I mean, this is so good. What he was saying to the Christians, to the church of that day, was do all the good you can. Now, you should know this about John Wesley's day in the church. It had become very, very formalized and dead, and they weren't getting out and loving people very much. John Wesley was actually, he was ostracized because he went out to where the workers were, the coal miners, and he stood on corners and told them about Jesus. And he started these orphanages and all this kind of stuff because he wanted to demonstrate the love of God by doing good things. So even if the world says, that's not for me, do it. Even if the church says, what are you starting this crazy thing? What do you think? You're more spiritual than us? Do it. Amen? Do all the good you can. Do all the good you can. God has done that for each of us in Christ, and now we go out and we do it in the world. If you've been here long enough, you've heard me say my favorite part of the service, don't be offended, is the end when you leave. And it's because I view it as ascending every week, that the door is open, we've been here, this has been good, but now we go out to what? Do good. You have an opportunity to change lives today. Go out and do good in this world. Let's pray.